Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, you're so good at coming up with great names for things. I got one for you. It's a discount sex toy store exclusively for gay men. Bottom dollar. Thanks, Ace. Love you, brother. Peace.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
You can bet it. Greg Fitzsimmons in studio, Fitzdog. We call him Irvine Improv, coming up next Friday through Sunday, August 17th through the 19th. And Milton, Florida, coming up. What is that? Imogene? Am I saying that right?
The Imogene Theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah, it's a girl's name from days of yore, from yesteryear.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
it's
Imogene,
Florida,
yeah.
So they're very like old names. Yeah. The Imogene Edna Coca. Theater.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, I don't read very well, so I'm always like, is that a word or is that something?
It's a lady.
Yeah. That'll be Friday, August 24th, and you can get tickets. Go to GregFitzsimmons.com. All right, so we're talking about crashing off the air and how much I love that show.
Right.
You just wrapped the season three?
Yeah, I've been writing on the show the last couple seasons, and we were in New York. We go for like 3.5 months and we shoot these crazy 14-hour days all over the city. You know, sometimes we had, for the final episode, we were on 6th Avenue in the Village at 2 o'clock in the morning shooting in, there's a hot dog stand.
Mm-hmm.
Something papaya.
Oh, yeah, papaya, right.
Papaya King or something.
Right.
And between the drunken frat guys walking by and going like, Baba Booey!
Right.
And then you got homeless people that will just yell so that they can get money to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're
smart.
Just go, ay! Ay!
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So we got And so it's long shoot because that one scene will take 3 hours because of that. But Judd has this he has a love for shooting in the Village late at night.
Yeah. You watched the series, and it feels like that. I mean, that is no soundstage.
Right.
It is not a, well, feel alike or sound alike where we're in Atlanta, but it's supposed to be the Village or whatever.
Yeah.
It is there and the people that inhabit that world.
Right.
And you can also tell the difference between 7:30 at night and 2 a.m. And it looks like 2 a.m. a lot of times out
well,
there.
Well, you just see this difference. At midnight, you can see that people are in a good mood. You know, they're walking around, and then 1 a.m., they're fading, and by 2 a.m., they're belligerent. And you're like counting down to 2 a.m.
I have this feeling, I mean, I have this thought when I'm in charge. You're out past 2 a.m., I got questions. Like, I want to know. Like, you're either inebriated and staggering around. I know you've urinated on something at some point. Or you're up to no good, or you're heading to no good, or you just finished no good. But either way, something is going on and something is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many writers in the writer's room?
We have like 7 or 8 in L.A., and then 2 or 3 of us go to New York to do like rewrites on the set, punch up, think of other jokes.
Right. So they need the guys who are good stand-ups and good on their feet to physically be there.
Yeah, we had Mike Lawrence. I don't know if you've ever had him on the show, but he's a big roast guy. He does all the roast battles, and he writes for the roast. So he's like Johnny Joke. And then another woman, Vanessa Ramos, who is just a pure writer. She writes for Big Mouth. You know that show?
I don't know that show.
Nick Kroll.
She has a big Twitter following. She's very funny.
Yeah, she's good on Twitter.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Judd comes in and he's great. He'll sit there on the microphone and they're doing the scene and he'll call out a different punchline or a different option just as they're shooting.
Well, it's such a good show. It's coming back in, you say, February?
February.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I never miss an episode. My only thing, I like I'm Dying Up Here as well. My only thing with seasons now is they don't have finale episodes.
Oh,
they used to have finale episodes. Yeah. Like, this is the end of season four of MASH. You know, this is going to happen or that's going to happen.
And,
like, something would happen. It would be the last episode. And so now I find myself just watching, but there's no calendar anymore. There's no, you know, seasons or anything with TV shows. They're just on. And then at some point I show up and like, oh, it's Sunday night. I'm going to watch my show. And then I sit down and I go, I've seen this one before. And I'm like, wait, this is real. We're not in the season anymore? No, we're done because we didn't. You didn't let me know we were ending. We just stopped.
Yeah.
That's the new
thing.
No,
it's true. And it's also, we shoot, and it's something that Judd actually brings up, is like, people are going to binge watch it. So you have to, you can write the show. First of all, it's HBO. You don't have to worry about commercial breaks, which is the bane of your existence when you're writing on a network show, is that you have to have two cliffhangers and a finale. And when you don't have commercials, you can just write a 30-minute story uninterrupted. And you also write it knowing that a lot of people are going to sit down and watch those 8 episodes in a week.
Right.
So you don't have to keep teeing up the premise. Mm-hmm. You can take a storyline through the arc of the storyline can go through all 8 episodes. It's almost like you're writing a film because it's 4 hours.
Well, it's really good, and it's one of my favorite shows. Maybe,
well, that's
maybe.
Nice to hear.
It is my favorite show.
Wow.
And I don't watch a lot of episodic stuff. It's all a bunch of stupid car auction shows and dumb building cabins and stuff like that. But I do love that show. So God bless you. I was saying off the air that Pete Holmes is so good. And Greg and I were, Fitzog and I were talking about how good Pete Holmes is as a stand-up, that it almost doesn't play like he's a rookie stand-up. He's that great. His jokes are that great, and his material's that great. And then I thought, this is not a problem. And then I thought, not since Mark Wahlberg had to play Irish Mickey Ward, the boxer, and somebody said to him, hey, Mark, that boxer's arms weren't as big as yours. Like, you need to lay off the weights for a couple months, see if we can take a couple inches off that bicep, and then we'll start filming the stuff of you in the ring.
Right.
It's a good problem.
That's the kind of problems you want to have.
Well, it's like when you watch stepmom porn, and, you know, the kid is...
Just about to say.
He's 17, and he's never had sex before. Cut to 9 minutes later, he's got her in a reverse cowgirl. He's diddling it from behind, using two fingers, craning her neck to make eye contact.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say, it doesn't ring true.
You almost don't buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
I'm this close.
They're not getting into the, whatever. I mean, there's character work and there's porn, but why do they have to be exclusive of each other?
Mm.
You know, why not be the guy in a porn movie who comes almost instantly and then apologizes, makes a sandwich, comes back, tries to have sex with her again. She's still mad.
Right.
So he has to kiss her ass for a while.
Right.
Literally.
Right. And there's some point in the middle of the sandwich making, he asks something that exacerbates her even more. Like, did you finish the déjeuners? And she's like, oh, God damn it.
It's not one thing.
God damn it.
What is it now?
Yeah, well, you're my mother. You should be buying the déjeuner.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Just make it a little more... I agree, because if the stuff's too good, I think you could do it this way. You know my theory. My theory is that the porn industry is racist because they will not let a black man without a huge dick into the industry. They'll let white guys with average-sized dicks, but if your brother. But if you were doing a real cuckolding-themed porn scene,
I'm listening,
and you had the black guy with an average to small size unit, I would buy right into this. I'm like, this is happening.
Yeah,
there, this is all caught via nanny cam or something that's up on the wall, and someone threw it
on
the internet.
Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and I think that there should be a little fear in the face of the virgin guy. He's got to be looking just off, a little confused, like he's getting a proctology exam the entire time.
This is I used to bring this up all the time when I did Loveline, which is if some guy would call in, like we get some 16-year-old, and he's like, I'm having sex with my best friend's mom. And it's always a weird non-question, like, I don't know how to tell my parents.
So what do I do?
I don't know how to tell your parents. Well, I don't even talk to my parents. What are you talking about? I'm talking to them about college. I'm talking about them banging Sharon up the street, you know, Eddie's mom. Like, it's always, you could tell it's a lie. It was a non-question.
That was always a great hallmark of those fake calls. They'd run out of steam, and they wouldn't plan on a question asked. They'd be like,
a follow-up.
I was having sex with my friend's mom, so what do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. His dad's a... So I'm having sex with my best friend's mom, and her husband is a Taekwondo instructor, and I want to know how to go down to the dojo and tell him. And it's like, you would never tell. That's not a question. That's a statement. But you could tell if the stuff was true or not by what they said she was wearing. So I'd always go, all right, well, let's walk it through it. Walk us through it. First time, what happened? Well, I knocked on the door because I was going to play with my, you know, go out with my friend. He wasn't there, and she answered the door, and I'd always go, what was she wearing?
Yeah.
And if it was a casual, who cares, kind of, she's flip-flops and
is
shorts.
Is it Friday
and
like yet? Oversized t-shirt?
Steelers jersey on or something. Right. It was like, that was a true story. Mm-hmm. If she was wearing a tight bustier or whatever, then it was a lie.
Right.
It was a lie. Okay. So you want that brought to your porn, saying, stop having this being so unrealistic.
Yeah. No, my favorite porn, as you know, because I've brought it up on the show, is hidden camera Japanese massage porn featuring lesbians.
Oh, that's right.
And what they do is the women come in and they don't know. They think they're getting a regular massage. Little do they know. Mm. Their masseuse is a highly trained, not just masseuse, but porn star.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And then they begin to rub the body. They get to the buttocks, and they start to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to get into, you know, that crease between the top of the thigh and the butt cheek, that little smile?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get their finger right in that with some oil, and then it gets down there, and then there's a grazing of the vag slats.
Uh-huh.
Just a grazing. They don't hit it hard
good
right away.
Good indie band. Saw those guys in Austin. The vag slats. Right.
Mm-hmm. And next thing you know,
I covered a lot of Indigo Girls songs.
For Imagine Dragons.
Put their own flavor on it. Yeah. Yeah. The vag slats. Right?
And they flip them over, and it begins manual stimulation. But
can I tell you a lesson I've learned from porn?
But wait, let me just tell you one
go
thing.
Ahead.
So here's how you know it's real, is they put another camera in the dressing room where they go in and take their clothes off and put the robe on to come in. One woman took off her clothes and then wiped both of her pits with her hands and rubbed it on a towel that was inside the dressing room.
Oh,
right.
God.
And they check their hair and they play with their pubes to make sure that, because it's Japanese, so there's a fair amount down there.
Yeah. Oh, right. They don't groom, like, they don't have the... They don't do what we do down there?
It's the East.
Well, they're not a hairy people, is what I'm saying.
Not until you get to the
really?
Slats.
Really? Mm.
Yeah.
So you're saying you know this is true because no one would do this on camera knowing they were on camera. Like, nobody would wipe down their armpits and then wipe it on
a
towel.
It's a very intimate moment. And what director would make that call?
Yeah. Yes, only a handful of Japanese lesbian massage porn directors would make that call. You're right.
Well, Mao Ching has always said the secret to his porn is the minor decisions. There's Japanese words for minor decisions.
Uh-huh.
Ting Tao.
Uh-huh.
And when Ting Tao is used effectively, the viewer is brought into it, and the masturbation becomes more intense, he says.
Mm. Wow. I admired the work of Ernest Bukkake for many, many years in that Japanese porn director realm. I don't know if that was real name or not.
Ernest?
That was the name of a movie. Ernest Bukkake.
Ernest Bukkake.
The importance of being Ernest Bukkake.
I don't
Bukkake.
Know if these guys use fake names or not. The thing that was always
this
funny.
This is honorable.
I haven't thought about this in really years, but if you ever watch, if you like spending your refractory period back in the day watching the credits in porn, the best boy would be like Big Stu Burger or something. Like, it's like, you got to come up with fake names too, like Grips and Key Grips.
Yeah, right. Can't be associated.
I guess. All
I've
right.
I've never heard of anybody making it to the credits in a porno movie before.
I have a question. I will tease it. A porn question and argument waged on at the house back when I lived with Cortland and Ralph and La Crescenta. All those many years ago, and I'll put it to the room. I'll put it to Fitzdog. You're going to have to build the Wayback Machine because it was back when you'd get a movie. You know, you'd rent a movie. I want to tell you guys first, before I tease that, about LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and enter Adam for this half of the show. And software advice, go to SoftwareAdvice.com. My roommates thought I was nuts because if I ever rented a porn, I had to skim the whole thing, make sure there was nothing, you know, I knew everything that was in it, and then go back and find the scene I liked. They were just like, you just watched a porn. And I'm like, well, you just watched a porn. There might be something at the end that you'd enjoy a little more than the one at the beginning.
It's like a buffet. You don't grab too much Brussels sprouts at the beginning because the lobster claws are at the end.
You gotta survey the whole buffet first.
That's right.
Yeah, they thought I was a weirdo for that.
The idiot loads up on chips at the very beginning. Oh, I love chips and salsa.
Yeah.
Are you guys with me on that? You got to sample it?
But also, now are you talking about videotape, like you'd fast forward because the videotape, the catch with the videotape is if you find your friend's videotape or your girlfriend finds your porn videotape, she pops it in, she's going to know the moment you came.
Absolutely.
What was turning you on?
That's right. Smart. That's why I rolled her the credits.
That's right.
It's called a spooge point.
Spooge point.
Where you put the VHS in and it's right there.
Yeah. You always got to go right.
Faces in your, whatever it is, you
questions.
Know. Smart. 4 seconds earlier was where you.
A couple things I've learned from watching porn, speaking of the Japanese massage stuff. One is that if a man comes on to a woman and she resists, she will give in pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So all women want it. All the time.
You just have to be more persistent and want it.
At first, they'll be like, no. Yeah. You know,
because that's what they're supposed to do.
You're my biological grandfather. Like, no, I'm 28. You know, but at some point.
If you have to get forceful,
You have to get forceful. That's lesson number one.
Right, she'll want it eventually.
Lesson number two, the exact same thing applies to another woman even faster.
You just have to stuff
your head in their crotch. If a woman shoves their head in another woman's crotch, she gives in almost immediately.
Right.
Those are the important lessons that I walked away from in terms of viewing porn.
Right. Never
so, FitzDog, are you saying that these vignettes, the massage parlor in Japan, that the people, the women who are getting the massage, absolutely have no idea they're in a movie?
Let me tell you something. I defy you to watch, and I'll send you some clips. I'll defy you to watch it and not see that it's a continuous shot. They have a camera to the side so you can see her face, because that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
There's one above and there's one underneath. Uh-huh. And now the one to the side that gets her face, you can read the turns. First, she's getting a massage. She's relaxed. She's comfortable.
Right.
The butt rub starts. Mm-hmm. The eyes open.
Mm.
Now we get a vag slat graze, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, the head cranks back a little bit. They kind of look.
Yeah.
The eyes go wider. Mm. There's a lot of blinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, as they get into it, you see the breathing begin. There is that. Meryl Streep could not play the beats of going from zero to finger blasted in a Japanese massage.
Agreed.
Good movie.
Agreed. Yeah. You're 1,000% correct.
Well, and Japan is sort of known for these types of, quote, game shows, you know, like these prank shows.
Are they
and all
a
that
non-religious,
kind of thing.
Are they a non-litigious society?
You have to sign something after you come.
Because when we did Crank Yankers,
right.
You know, Jimmy blasted a few callers with his finger. But for the most part, when we did Crank Yankers, it was like, well, we're in L.A., so no, you can't call from L.A. Like, well, why not? Well, it's the two-party consent, whatever, the Trump thing is going on. Like, you got to go to Vegas because it's not legal to call. These are phone calls. Record people. How do you record this and put it on the internet without the person suing whomever or doing whatever? Or they sign a release?
Adam, you're beyond my pay grade on
this.
I believe that Japan is... you know, you've seen the TV shows.
Yeah,
you
they're
were just
crazy.
Talking about
I get it.
I mean, you got naked women crawling through ground glass with dildos in their mouths, and
there's
men
famous
in
stories
suits
about
clapping.
These.
It's crazy.
Mm.
So I think that women don't have a lot of rights, thank God, in Japan, and this kind of stuff is allowed to exist
for your pleasure.
Yeah.
Well.
Mark Garagos, I'm going to talk to him later on. I'll ask him what he thinks
he
about this subject. I'll specialize in this. All right, FitzDog, last time you had an alcoholic beverage, at what age were you?
Well, you want me to be totally honest?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped drinking on New Year's Day, 1990.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was out the whole night before, did an eight ball with three friends,
mm-hmm.
drank a lot,
mm-hmm.
Stayed up till noon the next day, and I'd been trying to stop for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just said, that's it. You know, what it really came down to is, as a stand-up comic,
So this isn't 19, this is 25 or
yeah,
whatever.
25 or something.
Whatever it turned out to be, yes.
And I realized that, like, I was driving to my gigs. I was living in Boston, and, like, one night I'd be in Rhode Island, next night I'm in New Hampshire, next night I'm in Connecticut. And if I don't have a driver's license, I'm not working. And stand-up was the first thing I'd ever done in my life. You know, school I sucked, sports I sucked, girls I was mediocre, I'd pick up some strays. There'd be a weak calf from the herd, Fitzdog would grab once
wounded.
In a while.
Yeah
wounded. And then stand-up comedy, I did it, and it wasn't that I was that great. It was that I felt like I had potential, and I'd been doing it for a couple years, and I was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this could all end if I lose my license. And also, like, I'm just not going to get good, because, you know, you do stand-up, then you sit around drinking until 3 in the morning. You
right.
don't write the next day. And I was just really – me and Rogan started together, and we were – animals. We wrote all day. We drove to where we used to drive to places for free. We would drive 2 hours to do a 5-minute set for free. And you know, and so drinking was not working with that whole regimen.
Well, this is good. I mean, it's not a Bobcat Goldthwait got sober at 19 story. It's more right. mid career, mid 20s, whatever. Eight ball. Now I respect you again. Okay.
You're back.
You're back.
Thank God you told that story.
But this is, you know, whenever someone goes, hey, what's it going to take? I want to do stand-up. How's it? Drive everywhere, work for free for a million years, never ask any questions, get in line, and just do it.
And respect the headliners. Don't walk up to headliners in clubs and go, hey, I was wondering if you'd give me a few tips. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a podcast, asshole.
Right.
I talk about it for an hour every fucking week.
And if you're a big fan, you'd know that.
Right. I'm standing in the back of the room trying to talk to Bert Kreischer. And I got to talk to you?
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. So much cyber insecurity, Russian hackers infiltrating the U.S. Power companies and attacking home routers. 340 million records exposed on a public server. Let's protect ourselves, people. These hackers, they don't stop. They're worldwide. And they never sleep, and they're trying to get your identity, and then they're going to screw your credit up, and good luck on ringing that bell. They'll get hold of that personal info, and they can open accounts, they can file tax returns, they can buy property. LifeLock, new LifeLock with identity theft protection, adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity that you may not even know exist, and you have devices out there that they're trying to hack into. You can't see if they've hacked in. You can't fix it on your own. You need LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
All right, Fitzdog here and Gina there, and we'll take a quick break, come back, do the news with Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hold on, Max Pattis, you have some porn credit names?
Oh, right.
Yeah, for like so, grips and...
Yeah, so this one, I got one...
Teamsters
this,
and stuff.
This is from 10 Little Maidens in 1985.
I love that one.
One of the grips is named Godzilla. A gaffer, Cliffhanger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Godzilla, Japanese guy, right?
Yeah. Another grip, Cody Breeze. And another grip, DeLeo. And then also in a movie called Deep Throat, the second unit director's name is Chick Kane.
I'm trying to wonder, like, I don't know, in a weird way, maybe I do want people to know I'm a damn good porn grip. You know what I mean?
Can like, we get the word out?
I don't know. Is that going to hurt me if I run for Senate when I'm in my 50s?
Not
you know
anymore.
What I mean? Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
When it comes to porn, I think of the grip as the person who's watching it. Nice one, Fitz.
That's good. Spectator.
There you go.
Save that for the writer's room.
Well, it's only NFL preseason, but it feels to some like the players and Donald Trump already think it's midseason because 12 preseason games are played Thursday night. Some players chose to continue protesting the anthem by taking a knee, raising a fist, or just staying in the locker room. The on-field demonstrations triggered a response from the president on Twitter. Here's what he had to say.
Oh, boy.
He tweeted, "The NFL players are at it again, taking a knee when they should be standing proudly for the national anthem. Numerous players from different teams wanted to show their, quote, outrage at something that most of them are unable to define. They make a fortune doing what they love. Be happy. Be cool. A football game that fans are paying so much money to watch and enjoy is no place to protest. Most of that money goes to the players anyway. Find another way to protest, stand proudly for your national anthem, or be suspended without pay."
Couple thoughts. We got to get the price. Cool. We got to get the price down to for NFL and baseball games because everyone goes, family of four. By the time you're done with parking and food, and I don't know why they get the most expensive sitters in the world. Like you drop your kids off at the Four Seasons and use their sitter.
High end souvenirs.
By the time you're done with the souvenir, you're like $7,000. And I'm like, hey, you are?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just Uber in and not pay for parking?
On a home plane.
Yeah, but I mean, some of those are charter choices. A helicopter to come in from Maui.
Right.
Take it from the roof of your house right into the 50-yard line. By the time you're done paying, it gives them the same price. And then once we've established that all the hardworking people are in the stands and they paid a ton of money, now we can turn on whoever the players are.
That's
and
good.
These 23-year-old millionaires don't think it'd be a good idea when Joe Sixpack up there
he just dropped
$19,000, all right? This guy gets paid $14.50 an hour. He's working in a steel mill, okay? This guy just brought his family of three in, cost him $22,000, and he's got to watch your millionaire ass take a knee. How do you think that makes him feel?
And he was forced to go to the game.
So what we got to do is we got to bring the price down so we can go, that guy paid like $7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you lose your...
Does the argument change?
Your argument, okay. Yeah. I think about Trump. I think about our big to small. I want politicians working big to small. So I think, all right, this is small. Shouldn't be screwing with this. But then I realize he's looking toward getting reelected, right? This is a thing.
Sure.
He's thinking of this. He's not inserting himself because he's just got too much time on his hands.
That
he wants to get his base fired up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
100%.
All right.
Well, there's been a lot of hot Steven Seagal talk, and today is no different. Mm-hmm. The Los Angeles...
That being said, and I talked to Garris, he knows I don't like any of the kneeling. I don't like the fists. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like we have to fucking politicize everything. But... That's my final
big
comment.
To small.
I don't like it. No. Yes, but big to small.
The Los Angeles DA's office is reviewing a second sexual assault case against Steven Seagal. In January, two women told media outlets that they'd filed rape charges against the former action star. Shortly, the DA's office said it was reviewing one case, but this is a new case. However, the DA hasn't said whether it is a separate accusation altogether or just an additional charge stemming from that January allegation. And as we talked about
recently, you're a celebrity.
Sure.
Do you want, what would you prefer? It doesn't have anything to do with the case, but what would you prefer? Just a common man on the street response to, did you hear Fitzdahl got brought up on rape charges? Would you prefer, get out of here? Or, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. I can see that.
Right.
Because they both have some baggage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One maybe more than the other.
Get the fuck out of here. That's a slap, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, you don't want to be dismissed outright.
Like, that just means you're, you know, I thought he was, it's somewhere between I thought he was gay and that impotent prick.
Right. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, we all show up. We all try to give 100% no matter what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm kidding. The
no, I was going along with you.
There is certain people that like when you're going through your browser on your internet and you see Andy Dick, Me Too, you just go like, okay, and the Jets are playing at 7:00. You don't even take a beat.
There is,
and then there's people you go like, how have they not been Me Too'd yet?
Right. Oh my God.
What's our short list of people you can't believe have not been Me Too'd yet?
I got Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
At the
I got Adam Carolla number one.
The top.
right.
The top of my pyramid. Now, the thing about it is, the guys you would kind of think should be Me Too'd, like the dude from The Man Show. Come on, that guy's going on a Jamaican vacation with the Juggies and stuff. Like,
yeah,
we got to have some stuff on that guy. It's not... That's too obvious.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's not a cartoon version of it.
It's whoever's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. There's a element of that. But it's weird that the Man Show guys aren't going to get Me Too'd, even though people... almost discuss, you know, hey, misogynist Adam Carolla, but yeah. Except for nothing will ever come out with right. Adam Carolla.
Right.
So, right. All right, I guess you get to still hang on to your misogynist title, even if there's nothing in your misogyny sort of hopper. But either way, fine.
I like to think I put the massage into misogynist.
He puts the Japanese massage into misogyny. I got Oliver Stone. Like, that's just, that guy's been kicking around for a million years.
He's like
world-class lech. I mean, the only scenario where the Oliver Stones of the world don't come up is if they're Me Too... Chi is so insane that it's like, well, we do a lot of filming in Thailand, and I always paid everybody who was, you know, the he she's that came around. Like it's actually too far gone.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, a 23-year-old, Daryl Hannah is not even on your menu because you're so far into outer space with what you want sexually. Sure. You know, there's a part where he like overshot.
Yeah.
I believe Oliver Stone overshot the mark.
Yeah.
Like, there's not...
He's in the dark. He's in the dark zone.
He's in the Bogdanovich zone.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
but then you think like Alec Baldwin. You just think any guy that has that much machismo who seems to like really get off on getting his will in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to think: is it Alec Baldwin next, or is it Sylvester Stallone?
Quiet.
Stallone had a little dust up.
Oh, he did.
Well, that
there you go.
Look, whoever handled this, do you guys remember any of this?
Mm-mm. So he did their job.
Yeah. Right. So all folks that are there to put out fires, take a page from this person's playbook and not from the playbook of the guy who handled Papa John's affairs. Like they're having a conference call, and he's like, "Colonel Sanders dropped the N-word." I don't get what happened here. And they're like, "Hold on, I gotta get Harvey Levin.
TMZ?
I got a three-way. I'm into this conversation." Like, oh, by the way, I invoiced you last week. I haven't seen a check yet. It's like, okay, worst person in the world that's doing their job.
Well, your job is crisis manager,
right? Yeah. So use Stallone's crisis manager because. Max Patty, I'm looking up, it must have been about 9 months ago. I don't think it's been a year. Story comes out. Stallone goes to Vegas. Stallone is like filming or doing something in Vegas in the 80s or whatever. Goes down to the lobby of the hotel. Has a chick like come up and go, "Hey, you're Stallone. Like, I'd like to go back up to the room with you." He goes, "Yeah, okay." I go back up to the room, and he goes, "Look, we can do this, but you gotta show some love to my security guy over here first."
Wow!
And then that goes down.
Because I'm only into sloppy seconds.
I don't know if
feels
I'm
like an old school move.
Screwing up this, or maybe
chivalrous.
When I'm done, now you gotta spread it around to the security guy over there. And then she files with like the Vegas Police Department or something, and they file a case. And this drops 9 months ago or a year ago, like right in the middle of all this stuff, and it just gets handled.
Isn't it crazy how some stuff sticks and some stuff doesn't?
Well, is it that she?
Yes.
Is it that he asked her to do it, or she did it?
Or
and then regret,
or she was underage. I don't.
Or was coerced.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So this is Vegas, 1986. There was a woman. So there was a woman there, and she was given a key to Stallone's hotel room by Stallone's bodyguard, Michael DeLuca. And then she went and had sex with Stallone and then claimed that DeLuca became involved in the encounter, at which point she became, quote, very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
She said there was no physical force involved, but felt intimidated into having sex with the pair. And then afterwards, Stallone made the comment that they were both married men and that she could not tell anybody about the incident. And if she did, that they would have to beat her head in.
Oh, my.
Connery.
And then, that's funny.
And then a retired detective in Vegas said that this is a true report. Like, they've obtained a copy of the report.
And it came out about 9 months ago or so, or maybe that's harder to divine. But either way, nobody's heard it but me.
The evil devil's three-way. Right.
Yeah, about 9 months ago.
Yeah. All right. So somebody did a good job. Because, again, you know, who knows what all the details are. But
you just undid.
Sorry, but in a Sly's a dear friend, but
I saw me talking to him for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Has he been on the
way,
show?
Whenever I talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme, I use Sly's name. So
you're
listening, it's code.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, in a world where Al Franken is sitting home right now trying to make a homebrew in his bathtub because he's got no gig. Who knows how far? This is the part that drives me insane about all of this stuff, which is you are interested in what? And the answer is women being abused or the rights of women or sexual assault or whatever. Okay. Can we focus? And by the way, you live in a world that's borderless. We're all God's creatures, and we weep for the kids at the border or put in cages and torn from the arms of their mothers. Okay, I'm with you on all of this. Can we work on female genital mutilation? And then if we have time, we'll get to Al Franken. How is that okay?
That seems like a good pecking order.
I'm going after Al Franken. We're putting all our eggs in the Al Franken basket. And it's like, okay, but wait a minute. Okay, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, you have a daughter.
Yeah.
Would you rather
her
have female genital mutilation perpetrated upon her or take a C-130 cargo jet and fall asleep with a flak jacket on next to Al Franken? I'll give you 2 days
to come up
with that.
Okay. Let me crunch the numbers.
And then, let's just be fair. I'll give you the weekend.
Okay.
Then I'm going to talk to you Monday. If you come back to me and you say, I've given it a lot of thought, I discussed it with family members, I did some soul searching, and I'm still on Al Franken. Yeah. I feel like that would, I would rather she fall asleep next to Al Franken with a flak jacket on a C-130 than
be carved up.
Yes, I'd rather, yeah, this I'd rather. I would prepare her for that. Then I will say, let's go after Al Franken. Mm-hmm. But I bet you might say, probably up to 60% of the ladies would say, let's focus. I'd rather this not for my daughter.
Yeah.
So in which case I would go, okay, well then you've answered your own goddamn question, which is we should go, Surfer sounding like Brian, we should go and focus on female genital mutilation versus Al Franken. Now, the fact that you guys are so spread out on everyone all the time, it's not a great strategy. It's a sort of, I'm going to police this neighborhood by cracking down on axe murders and jaywalkers with the exact same severity. I shall have zero tolerance for both, and both of you are, if I get hold of you, you're going in the hole, and we're throwing away the key. All right, I guess that kind of makes you a tough on criminals kind of sheriff, but I don't think you have the resources to go after everyone with the same. So why don't we start with the axe murders and we'll get to the.
I think this ship will sort of right itself, but this pendulum swing, I mean, we're full in it. I don't think it's going to stop anytime
soon. It's also how you get people to kind of lose interest in your cause. You pick something crazy like PETA does, and then people go, I don't care.
It's the downfall of the progressive or liberal or whatever you want to call the side, is that it happened with, you know, the feminist movement in the 70s, you know, all of a sudden you had you know, lesbians who wanted one direction. You had neo-feminists that wanted another direction, and they couldn't agree on a united front. And so the whole movement fell apart. You know, and Democrats are very layered, and they're very caught up in details, and they're very caught up in nuances, and they're very caught up in guilt. And I'm a liberal. But I see our failure is exactly that. Mm. We can't stay on point, we can't prioritize, and we can't all come together as a group and use resources on an agenda.
The problem also is when you make the declaration that you have zero tolerance. I have zero tolerance for what. Look, right. Under my regime of zero tolerance, then Al Franken does need to be thrown out because right. I have zero tolerance. Yeah. You should have a scale of tolerance that goes from, hey, man, knock it off, to insane outrage, not just zero tolerance for every act.
It's like an idealism. It's an idealism. Nobody, that.
But why are you saying that? Like, I have a different spot for a guy who slides in front of me in a parking spot at a Costco versus kids abducted and raped and left in a field. Like,
both it's egregious. Just,
yes, but. I'm more angry at the guy who took my space, the kids. Hey, no, I'm saying, like, have a big fat sliding scale. Don't have zero tolerance. That's an insane way to approach life. And then you'll go, Al Franken, that's a 2 or 1 or whatever. And then Harvey Weinstein, that's a 10. And then we'll be able to separate things. And then you can get on with your life.
Mm. Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do, let me tell you about software advice, and then we'll do one more. Picking software for your business, Software Advice has done all the research for you. Their team of advisors can point you in the right direction right away, and they can do it for free. How about that? Free. Just go to softwareadvice.com/Adam, answer a few short questions about your business, then connect with an advisor to discuss the best software option for your needs. 10 minutes or less, in and out, and it's free. Whether you're a medical professional, construction manager, HR pro, you name it, Software Advice will save you time and help you make an informed decision. So why not get something free? And something free that can help your business a lot. It is softwareadvice.com/Adam. Dawson.
End the software struggle today. Go to softwareadvice.com/Adam to get started. That's softwareadvice.com/Adam and connect with an advisor for free. Softwareadvice.com/Adam.
Well, everybody here has kids. Really curious what your take is on this. So some parents spend hundreds, sometimes thousands, on kids' birthday parties between food and entertainment, decorations, blah, blah, blah. So now the gifting etiquette has become a little more complicated, and some parents are changing things by throwing Fiverr parties. That's where guests each bring $5 for the birthday boy or the birthday girl to put toward a big gift for themselves. The concept received a lot of buzz after this Canadian mom of three.
How many people are you inviting?
Well, here's the deal. Apparently, people are huge fans of this because when you're spending, you know, $20, $40, $50 or more on another kid's birthday, it limits the amount of birthday parties that you let your kid go to for a lot of people because you just can't keep spending on every kid in the class. So if you have a Fiverr party and say, every kid just bring little Timmy $5 and he'll pick his gift, maybe not a bad idea.
Got my stupid. I should have gone Jehovah's Witness or something. Yeah. You know, you pick a weird religion. Yeah. Nobody kicks any tires.
No
one's like, you don't go, I'm sorry, my kids don't bring gifts. We're Jehovah's and it's part of our. No one goes, could I see some documentation? No, that's fine. I just want to see some paperwork.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're all above board here. Like, no one asks anything because it's weird and no one gets pushy. And then you get a weird respect. Like, what if Corolla kids didn't bring shit? Huh? They're Jehovah's.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You get older.
They're more disciplined than we are somehow, or tighter as a family or whatever.
You get older and you know you're an adult, a woman wants you to perform oral sex and you go, that is not part of my belief system.
I would conscientious objector.
Yes. And it's much preferred to my reply of, I don't eat anything that gets up and walks away when I'm done. So Jehovah. See, because when you say what
you're
I say,
those t-shirts that
can be taken the wrong way.
They don't like that. They don't like
misconstrued.
See, when I say that, they take that and twist it and turn
they
it into something
it
negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I did Jehovah, you know what I mean? I'd get a weird respect.
They'd want
you
even
more. Not only do you not have to do it, they respect it.
Yeah.
And then you inform them that in your religion, the phallic worship is integral to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Encouraged.
And also, with the way women are wired, you could go, look, according to Jehovah, you're really not technically supposed to blow me on the first date. But I am willing.
Challenge accepted.
I'm not Orthodox.
Sorry, I don't know why it's making me punchy.
So bring $5
but
to the kids.
But a stupid religion. Yeah, I got to tell you, the kids, it's a mess because it's all about the kids. Oh, I mean, it's like, every single, I have to check every single weekend what is Sonny's, what is his schedule?
Right.
And like, Lynette will be like, well, he's got a flag football game at 5 on Sunday. So if you want to go to dinner, you got to make sure it's out, you know, later. And then you go, okay, so we got the day on Sunday. He's working with his personal basketball coach between 10 and noon. And then he's got, it's all this insane stuff. And then if you ever bring up any alterations, you're the world's worst dad. Like, if they'll go, well, we got a basketball tournament in Vegas, and that, and I'll go, okay, but, so just leave Friday, right? No, no, first game is at 10 a.m. on Thursday, so we got to fly in Wednesday. And I'll go, and then when's the next game? Well, that's Thursday night. And I'll go, okay, well, why don't you just miss the morning game? There's going to be 28 other games.
Oh, no.
And then you just, you guys can leave
you.
Thursday. You guys just leave, drive out Thursday morning, and then he can play. They got an early game on Thursday. We got to go the night. And I'm like, you don't have to do anything. Right. You don't have to. All the parents pack it up, get on flights, move it on out. It's insane. And if you suggest that you miss a few games or, all right, when is the, well, you got to get there Wednesday night, then you come home Sunday. It's like, why don't you get there Friday and come home Sunday? It's like, no, you'll miss the tournament. You miss half the, it's
do
like,
you even care about this kid?
Well, here's
it's insane.
Here's the bigger question, because my son has played club soccer for the last 8 years. Do you need to go to Vegas to find kids his age to play? We're in Los Angeles. It's the largest city in the country.
Oh, yeah. No, if he tries to get into a game here, it's a bunch of 28-year-old brothers that were just paroled, just jamming. Just five slamming, jamming, just posting back and Sonny, throwing a hit, and this turnaround, just jamming. Right. They're beat 721 to nothing.
Yeah.
Their last games. No, we have to go outside of the state, obviously.
Fair,
yeah. I understand why you'd ask the question.
Yeah.
But after watching him just being slammed on by huge brothers nonstop, or some of those guys are in their early 30s. It's like that Big Three league, you know.
Yeah.
Some of those guys
are trash talk too. It's not
a lot
just,
of talk.
Oh
the N word. It's thrown
wife.
Around.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're how old is Sonny now?
12.
When your 12-year-old is having the sexual orientation of his mother questioned while being dunked on.
Yeah.
That can stay with him.
Yeah. 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 So that's why, of course, we have to go out of state.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we could do it somewhere in the La Cañada area.
Even Vegas is a little competitive. I think you need to go to a place like, Canada.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
there's no competitive
totally
edge.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Vag Schlag.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. You need Castrol Edge, full synthetic. This stuff is made with fluid titanium technology. Protect that investment. You know, second to your house, your car is probably your biggest investment. Let's invest in some world-class lubrication. Castrol Edge, it delivers maximum levels of performance for your car. It's Castrol Edge, man. All right, let's see. Fitz Dog this Friday through Sunday, as you hear this show, August 17th through the 19th, Irvine Improv, Imogene. That's a name.
Mm-hmm. Imogene Coca.
I always thought it was E, like Emmy, like Imogene.
Oh, maybe
I never
that's
said
how it's
Imogene. Mm. It's like
yeah, maybe that's how you say it.
Is that a name?
Imogene. Oh, there's Imogene.
Imogene.
Imogene?
Yeah.
Imogene.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's going to be the Imogene Theater Friday, August 24th. This is the same as Coca. We'll figure that one out. Anyway, and you can check out tickets at GregFitzSimmons.com. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need as it pertains to us doing live shows everywhere. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dennis Miller, Greg Fitzsimmons, Gina Grand, Bull Bryan, say mahalo. Once in a while, you got to put your hands on a bitch.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 6341744. Come out and see us at the Ice House in Pasadena with guest Dr. Drew. That show is at the end of the month. Tickets and info on all of it at AdamCarolla.com.